I might just add to what Brother John has said concerning the opening verse of chapter 6. It was in the year where Uzzah died. The Spirit of God is very eloquent. He doesn't write much. He just made that very small statement. But it makes your mind think why it was in that year. Why wasn't it the year before or 20 years before? After all, Uzzah, as we have heard, was a good king. Started very, very well. Didn't end well. Actually, he was the longest king in the kingdom of Judah that have reigned. He reigned for 52 years without any interruption. Now you would say Manasseh reigned 55 years. That's absolutely true. But there was interruption with the king of Babylon invading the land. But during this long, longer than Solomon, longer than David, 52 years that king have reigned. And as we have heard, he was very prosperous as far as agriculture is concerned. As far as the military is concerned, you said he invented things. He was the first one to invent long-range missiles. Read it in 2 Chronicles 26. He was able to shoot weapons from afar. That is the first. Before anybody invented that stuff, it's in the scripture, he did it. So as far as technology is concerned, he was well advanced. He was prospered. He had gained the lands that the Philistines have taken, that the Moabites have taken. For 52 years, everything was going well. There was stability in the land. During his time, there were about five kings in the northern kingdom that have reigned one after the other. One reigned for a month, one reigned for 6 months, one reigned for 2 years, one reigned for 20 years. There was turmoil in the northern kingdom. But this kingdom was characterized by stability. But it said that in that year when he died, how did he die? He died with leprosy. Leprosy that came into his forehead. How could a good king like that end up in the way King Uzziah died? He entered, you read that again in Chronicles chapter 26. He entered into the sanctuary. He entered into the temple of the Lord. He entered into the holy place. And before the golden altar, he wanted to offer incense. It was a place that is exclusive for the priest. Only a priest could enter there. Well, this king wanted to be a king priest. The scripture said that his heart was lifted up. Now, the interesting thing about this king also, he was the 10th king after that division of the kingdom to reign. 10 is the number of responsibility. And the 10th king had failed by taking a position that does not belong to him. His heart was lifted up. And actually, Isaiah tells us the source of that. Because if you go to chapter 14, you know who heart was lifted up to take a position that did not belong to him. The father of all of that is Satan himself. That is the seed of his falling. His heart was lifted up and he wanted to be like the Most High. That king's heart was lifted up and he wanted to be a priest. Now, king and priests are only reserved for one person. You mentioned the first time a throne is mentioned in the scripture. That's in connection with Joseph, having dominion over the world. The last time the word throne is mentioned in the Old Testament is in Zechariah chapter 6. And he shall be a priest, and he will sit on his throne. Here you have it, a king priest. It's only reserved to the Lord Jesus. And Uzzah tried to take that place. God had given him 52 years, and he had failed miserably. Now Isaiah was thinking, there was leprosy and defilement in the temple. Thank God for godly priests who stood up and did not care that God was the king. And they kicked him out. Thank God for men with backbones that are able to stand up when something is wrong and call it the way it is. Just like Isaiah, just like the priest at that time. You see, if the Lord called you to be a king, be a king. If the Lord called you to be a priest, be a priest. That's the Old Testament. Now let's come to the New Testament. If the Lord called you to be a man and to function in the local assembly as a man, be a man and function in the local assembly as a man. If the Lord called you to be a sister, to be a woman, don't try to give up the position of a man. Because that's confusion. And that's what brought disaster on that king. Leprosy came to his forehead. It's a mind. It's a brain. It is a way of thinking that came right here. And the priest thrust him out. Now Isaiah is thinking, there was defilement in the temple. There was uncleanness in the temple. What is the remedy? The great king had failed. What is the remedy when we look around and find everything is collapsed? I saw the Lord in that year. It was interesting that the very same year where Rome was becoming and recognized as a place in the world. That very same year. It was the beginning of the falling of the time of the Gentiles. It was the beginning of the time of the Gentiles. What God had delivered to his people, and I think the top note was Hosea. The tenth king had failed. And from that time on, Gentiles start taking place. Until he comes, who is king priest, and sets things in the right order. But it wasn't that year. He entered into the temple when everything's failed. He didn't see Hosea in there. He didn't see the priest in there. But he saw the Lord on his throne.
I think it might be safe to say, Elmo, that there might have been some attraction on the part of Isaiah to King Uzziah in regard to the history that you just set before us, all of the admirable things that come up in 2 Chronicles 26 until we get to the point where he went into the temple. So there must have been some admiration. Even as a matter of fact, maybe the funeral service of King Uzziah might have been so impressive that Isaiah's heart was attached to Uzziah. What does God do in a case like that? When my heart is attached to that of a man, when I am attracted to brethren of stature and make them become the predominant thing in my sight, what does God have to do? He has to remove things. And I think that this is what ultimately happened for Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, God stepped in. You'd realize that in chapter 5 of Isaiah, Isaiah was constantly involved in issuing woes. Woes to this one, woes to the other. And then it was not until he saw the Lord in chapter 6 that he was able to say, woe is me.
To make a practical application today, God's desires that we see Christ, not just crucified, which is wonderful, what the redemption was accomplished, not just risen, Christ be not risen, we're still in our sins, but Christ glorified. There's a man in the glory. Heaven has never had a man. There's one man in heaven, the man Christ Jesus. Their souls and spirits there, but only one glorious man, that lovely man who is down here on earth, is still in all heaven. He wants to fill our hearts. So I'm good to be occupied with Christ in the glory. That's God's full thoughts for the assembly. God's full thoughts for his dear people is Christ there on the throne in heaven.